Good day, everyone. In his book, Tomorrow, What It Will Be Like, Mr. Armstrong asked the question, how will Christ heal the problems when he returns? I shouldn't have used the introduction just now, should I? First, by changing the nature of human beings, changing their outlook towards life, removing their lust and selfishness, their covetousness and greed that drive them onward towards material goals. Let's look what the Bible says about human nature in Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Reading this morning, I thought, this is like reading a television listing. It's what our normal fare of a weekday evening is, if we like to switch on the one-eyed monster. Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through to 21. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I've also told you in times past. Just thinking how much of that is just our normal television pair. Where would we be without a few murders in NCIS? Even Agatha Christie manages to sort of salt her stuff with a few murders. Adultery, well, of course, it wouldn't be interesting without a bit of adultery and fornication on the television, would it? Witchcraft, Harry Potter, so successful in teaching our young people to read. Seditions, strife, selfish ambition. Well, there's your party political broadcast. How will all that be changed? By putting away the super powerful Satan, the prince of the power of the air, a spirit being that is now working in deceived, misled human beings. Satan is the source of human nature, which humans acquire from him. We celebrated on the Day of Atonement, we haven't got time to turn there, but Revelation 20, and I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit, a great chain in his hand. He laid hold of the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil, bound him 1,000 years, cast him into the bottomless pit, shut him up, set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. Part of what we had so much to rejoice about was celebrating the Day of Atonement. We have an assurance also from the Apostle Peter, if we could now turn, please, to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. Verses 2 to 4, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ, and our Saviour Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ, according as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you may be partakers of the divine nature. Partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. All that catalogue of everyday entertainment I went through earlier. Returning to what Mr. Armstrong wrote earlier in the book, first consider how the living Christ, as our high priest, changes this human nature in those whom God calls to salvation in this present age of man, here and now, the process that we are going through, and all the people that he calls us to go through. Each individual is a free moral agent, and God won't change that prerogative. Each must be brought of his own free will to repentance and to faith in Jesus Christ. These are the conditions. These do not change human nature. They are the conditions God requires of us. But when we, of our own free will, do yield these two conditions, then God starts the changing process. Just like moulding the clay. We're the clay. We can't turn ourselves into a pot, porcelain, china. We can't turn out a piece of Wedgwood, Royal Doulton, Denby, whatever. God has to do the shaping and the forming. But we have to cooperate. We have to be willing. We have to realize just what an amazing opportunity we are given and to wholeheartedly go along with it. We can't do any of this by ourselves. It is a continuing miracle, just as the process of repentance is. You can regret something, you can cry over something, you can be really disappointed you got caught out, but it is God who has to give us the repentance that is acceptable to him. Romans 8:14, this incredible scripture, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. It's being led by God's Spirit. It's allowing it to work in our lives. Mr. Armstrong continues, if one makes the decision to be led by this new divine nature, God's Spirit in him is also the power of God and the faith of Christ that will enable him to resist the pulls of human nature and is led by God's Holy Spirit into obedience to God's way. He grows in spiritual character until at the time of the resurrection, or his human nature will be gone. Only the divine nature will remain. It is a process, a lifetime process, which will not be completed until the resurrection or the change at the return of Christ. Tomorrow, or in the imminent future, without Satan's broadcast, with positive peer pressure, teachers who are not out of sight, people will cease to be a threat, cease to be all those things listed in Galatians. They'll cease to be aggressors, competitors, and will fulfill Isaiah's prophecy contained in chapter 32, the first four verses. Chapter 32 of Isaiah. Behold, a king shall reign in righteousness, princes shall rule in judgment, and a man shall be a hiding place from the wind and a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of great rock in a weary land. The eyes of them that see shall not be dim, and the ears of them that hear shall hearken. The heart also of the rash shall understand knowledge. The tongue of the stammerer shall be ready to speak plainly. God speed the day.